Got a song tonight would be a good night to debut your singing career. Not many people here, and be a good time to jump up and try. But if not, turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Beginning in verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great number of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often? And make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better. Now, to read this, there are some verses in there that seems to be confusing. And there's a lot of misinterpretation of these parables. Tonight, I'd like to look and just try to show you a simple truth. Not real complex truth, but a simple truth. Now, Levi here was Matthew. He was the one who eventually wrote the book of Matthew, and God used him. And he was a publican. You know, a publican is a tax collector for the Roman government. They were hated by the Jews. And here he was sitting. But imagine this for just a moment. Imagine the power of Jesus' voice and his word, to be able to walk up to someone and look at them, say, follow me, and that person walk away from everything they're doing and follow them. Imagine the power that Jesus had in his voice. Then Levi went and he created a feast at his house. And when he created a feast, the publicans and sinners came to the feast. And of course, like the good old Pharisees that they had, they began to murmur, the scribes began to murmur against the disciples of Jesus. Why in the world would they eat with a bunch of publicans and sinners? Look back, if you would, and notice in verse 30, the Bible says, But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And notice that Jesus then, in verse 31, he answers them. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now let me stop right there. To be able to understand the parables, you have to understand where Jesus is going. The Pharisees believed that they were obeying God and pleasing God by keeping the law. They were believing that they were keeping the whole law, and therefore the ability to keep the law kept them in favor with God. Fasting was things that they did themselves, and we know from Luke chapter 18 with the publican and the Pharisee in the temple that the Pharisee looked over and said, "Boy, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this man, and I'm glad that I fast twice a week." In other words, he's going to bring in just a few moments the fact that they fast because they thought that exalted them above other people. But here, what Jesus knew where this was going, and he knew in what he's talking about is the law. Jesus come to provide a way by grace. The Pharisees was trying to find salvation by the law. Law and grace does not mix. You cannot perform enough works to please God and be saved. That's why when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he had no hope because he didn't recognize Jesus as the Son of God, and he didn't look for grace from God, but he looked to earn it by his own merit. He said, "All these things I've done from my youth up." Well, he thought he had performed the law and kept the law well enough that God would take him on up into heaven. He thought Jesus would look at him and say, "Okay, you've been such a good guy, you're going to go to heaven." But Jesus said, "Well, I tell you what, why don't you go," and he forgot about number 10 down there. He said, "Why don't you go and sell what you got, give to the poor. You'll have treasures in heaven." The Bible says he went away sorrowful because he was rich, because he had money, and he had possessions there he didn't want to part with. And so what he found out was that he wasn't keeping all the law. Well, these Pharisees thought that they were. And by the way, when you read the book of Galatians, you'll find out that the law was not given to us for us to keep. Did you know that? Adam and Eve sinned. Everybody after Adam and Eve has sinned and is born a sinner. The law was not given to us to command us to keep it, to be saved. The law was given to us to bring us to the point to recognize that we were sinners. The best that we do, the law reminds us that we are sinners unless we are self-righteous and we try to look at ourselves and our actions. You'd be surprised how many religions teach self-righteousness. Self-righteousness will not get you to heaven. In other words, they look down at other denominations or religions and they say, "We do this," and they don't do that. I wish we had the gumption that the Jehovah's Witnesses had to go out and hit as many doors as they go. But they think that that's getting them a ticket to heaven. And it's not. And so here, they came to Jesus, or they came to disciples, won't know why, and Jesus told them the reason that he came was for the sick, not those that were whole. In other words, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The whole purpose that Jesus came was to make a way that we could be saved. Amen. The law came to make us recognize that we were sinners, we were sick, and then make us look to the physician, just like as Aaron, as we was talking about with Aaron. As young as he is, he had to recognize two things. He had to recognize he was a sinner. Then he had to recognize who the physician was. And he had to go to the physician. You've seen some people that are stubborn and they have something going on and they won't go to the doctor. They won't go and they won't go. And sometimes it gets worse and worse and worse. Then by the time they go, it's too late. That's the way a lot of people does with salvation. Kind of like Merle was talking about with his uncle. I believe your uncle. And you know, they think that they're just going to pluck it off the store shelf whenever they get ready to use it. But they'll find out that's not the way it works. And they'll find out every day that they resist, the harder it is to be saved. They'll find out there'll come a time sometimes they might be willing to call and wanting it for last minute life preserver and it's not there. And it's very important to understand here that Jesus here, he deals with the fact that he came for the purpose to save us. And the reason was because we're all sinners. Amen. And the law was sent to us to make us recognize the fact that we were sinners. So anytime you think that you can please God by your actions and keeping the law, you're a fool. Just like the rich young ruler. Not only that, but notice if you would, in verse 33, and they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often, make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees? So they kind of connected themselves with John the Baptist. And they thought they had Jesus over the barrel because his disciples went 7 days a week and didn't fast none. But what Jesus told them, he said, why does the children of the bride chambers, why would they fast when the bridegroom is with them? In other words, he said, there coming time when the bridegroom be taken away and then people will fast. When we fast is when we have something upon our heart, we have something in our life that it is so troublesome that we're crying out to God and none of the material things around us means nothing, just that matter that we're going to God about. We lose our appetite, we lose all desire for satisfaction of other things, and we have one desire, and that is to come before God and cry out to God. His disciples didn't have to do that. When they had anything, they just looked and there he was. God was with them. He would dwell among them. And so therefore, they didn't have to fast. John's disciples fast, but the Pharisees fasted for self-righteous reasons. They did it because they would fast twice a week, and they would come out with their face all defigured because they wanted everybody to know that they'd been fasting. They did it for the glory of men, not the glory of God. And so they were depending upon their works to save them. And so therefore, Jesus deals with this, and he deals with the fact that they were trying to keep the law. Now, as a matter of fact, we've sung the song this morning. Brother Porter sung that song in invitation, Just As I Am. There's a woman, she's a little over 20. I read the story one time. I can't remember what her name is right now, but she's a little over 20. And she had seen several people and went to several preachers and several churches wanting to know what to do to be saved. Every one of them would try to add things on to just faith and the grace of God. They would add some type of work, some type of baptism, some type of this, some type of that. It would be something, and she was so confused. And she finally went to this old preacher of the gospel. And she asked him, she said, what can I do to come to God? How can I come to God? He said, come just as you are. She said, but what do I need to change some things in my life. He said, no, you come just as you are. It's the grace of God that saves you through your faith. Amen. It's not that you come gaining favor with God by your merit. And so she went home and she sat down. And after she got saved that day, she wrote that song, Just As I Am. And she comes just as she was. That's all we was. You see, you can't mix law and grace. Look on, if you would, in your Bibles. And he goes on and he begins to teach a parable. Now, a lot of people take this parable and they begin to put different things in this parable. But you got to keep it in the context. He's talking about one thing. He's talking about the law and works of the law and fasting. And they're claiming that fasting finds them favor. And so Jesus is telling them if someone is able to keep all the law, they're all whole. He didn't come for that purpose. He came for those that were sick. And you have to be sick. And the law was sent to make us sick. And what they were trying to do was they were trying to claim that they had what they needed to satisfy God. Now look, if you would, in verse 36. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. In other words, what he's saying is, you have this new garment, and he says, who would take a new garment, having an old garment that's got a hole in it, and it's got something lacking in it, and you take this new garment, and what you do is you take a piece of the new garment to fix the old garment. Well, he said, there's two things wrong with that. He said, what happens is when you take that new garment and you cut a hole in it and you try to use part of it, then you rent or tear up the new garments. And therefore, he said also, when you put it in the old garment, it won't fit. And the reason why is because when the garment was rent, and it would show the flesh and be embarrassing to the flesh because it would show. And so therefore, what would happen when you put the new in there? It had not been washed. It had not drawn up. It had not reacted. And so what would happen is when you put it in there and you sewed in that old piece, quick as it went through and it began to be washed and processed, it would rent apart and tear a hole. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about exactly what he was talking about. The parable was to illustrate what he was talking about up there. The new dress was something that was finished. It was complete. Jesus, when he was upon the cross of Calvary, he died and he said, "It is finished." When he did that, he provided everything that we sinners need to be healed. We are sick. We are sinners. Everybody here is sick. And the only thing is, if you will be saved, you have to come and you have to own up that you are sick. And if you have to own up that you are sick, and then you have to be willing to look unto the physician to heal you. And there you got it. And so therefore, he came that he might be able to save those of us who are lost. And what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary, he did, and he made a perfect salvation, and he did two things. When we get saved, two things happen. One is we are justified. The word justified means when God looks upon us, he is satisfied with what he sees. In other words, God accepts us. And what happens is, when we are saved by the work that Jesus did on Calvary, his righteousness is imputed to us. And so therefore, when God looks upon us, we are justified. We are regenerated for when man looks upon us. We are regenerated, we are born again. God gives us something on the inside. And when we are born again, then and been regenerated, been born again, then we have something on the inside to produce good works. No one in their unrighteous condition as a sinner, no one can do good works. You can fast, but you still do not do good works. There is none good, no, not one. And to be good, you have to have the foundation of a new birth. You have to be a new creature. And so therefore, the spirit that is within you stimulates good works. And you could go and perform a work then, and that same work that you might have done as a sinner would not have been accepted. Now it's accepted because of your regeneration. Because you have been, and regeneration makes the fact that you do things and you walk in ways that's pleasing men. But the Bible says that there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. God does not condemn us because when God looks upon us, we are justified. And when we are regenerated, we are given a new life. And so that's important. And Christ lives in us before the world. And he gives us a life and power within us to be able to do the things that we need to do. Now, I've said all that, so let's go back to this and notice. When what Jesus did upon the cross is what that new dress represented. When you try to take a piece of that and just put it on your old dress, it won't fit. And what the Pharisees was trying to do was they was trying to say, well, they were still in their old garment. And yet what they were trying to do is say, well, we'll take this and we'll perform this and we'll perform that and we'll take these good works and we'll try to take a piece of the new and put to their old, and therefore we'll just patch up what the old. But the Bible says that's not the way it works. We have to have become a new creature. We have to have a regeneration. Christ has to come within us. And he does that the moment when the law has condemned us and the Holy Spirit of God has used that law to show us we're a sinner, and we cry out to God, our great physician, and we ask Christ to save us, that's the whole purpose why he came to the earth, to save us. And he sits ready and willing to save those who call upon him. That's why he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says those that come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. When they call upon him, they are saved. If they call from a heart of faith and they believe in him. Now, I said that to say this, and he says there in verse 36, no man can put a new piece of garment upon an old, or if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. In other words, if you try to take something from Jesus' finished work and add something to it, or take something away from it, it won't work. Now he goes on, he uses wine. Now remember, again, he's going back and he's talking about works, and they're talking about fasting. And notice here, he says, no man putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilt, and the bottles shall perish. Now the bottles they're talking about is wineskins. And what would happen is, when you would put new wine in the old wineskins, the new wine would expand, and it would cause the bottles to burst. And they would get leaks, and they would lose all the new wine. And so what Jesus is talking about is basically the same thing, but he says, but new wine must be put in new bottles. In other words, you have to be regenerated. You have to, if you want good works and you want works pleasing to God, they have to come from within, and they have to be put, that new wine is what God puts in you, and it must be new bottles. And bottles is talking about works and things there. So therefore, he's saying that what you've got to do and understand is you can't put good works in the old wine bottle. You have to have something new. And so he's trying to get across to these Pharisees, because remember what they're doing. They're condemning Jesus and the disciples because they're not fasting, and they thought they should be fasting, and they thought they were exceeding them in righteousness because they fasted and John's disciples fasted. But Jesus told them, he said, listen, they got the bridegroom with them. There's no need of fasting. And so he goes on to explain to them that he came for those who are sick. He went on to explain that the law makes us sick. It shows us and tells us we're sick. And then it points us to the one who can save us. And that's the purpose why he comes. And so when he saves us, what happens is he gives us ability with our new wine that he puts in us. He gives us ability then to keep the commandments. There is a power within you to keep every commandment up there. You understand? That's why after you're saved, Jesus said, you can tell my disciples because they love my commandments. Now somebody said, well, we're not perfect. No, we're not perfect. We will be one of these days. But there is a power within us to overcome everything that we face. We have that ability. And so therefore, the new wine has to have the new bottles or new skins. If it doesn't, it cannot. The old skin cannot hold the new wine. It will burst it because it does not hold it. In other words, and if you notice, he goes on, he says this, ending up, he says that, and no man putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine would burst the bottles and be spilt, and the bottles shall perish. In other words, that's not going to save them old bottles, the old ways and their old works. But new wine must be put in new bottles, and both are preserved. In other words, what we do after we get saved and after we are regenerated, we're justified before God, we're regenerated, and we're able to do good works. We have the ability within us to do good works. And therefore, when we do those works, they are preserved. But when we do our works as an unsaved person, they are not. But notice the last verse there. He says, and no man, having also drunk old wine straightway, desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. And what he's saying is, the Pharisees, they'd been drinking the old wine so long, they wanted law. They didn't understand grace. They didn't want grace. As a matter of fact, they condemned grace. They frowned upon grace, but they didn't understand. Grace was the only hope we had. The law was not, and see, they were mistaken because they thought the law was theirs as their ladder and stairway to heaven. But they didn't understand the law condemned them. They were not finding God's favor by the law. Law and grace cannot be mixed. Therefore, you cannot add anything to salvation other than the fact of being sick and going to the physician and seeking the physician. You add anything else to it, and you're trying to mix law with grace. Law was not mixed with grace. Grace was given to us by God to give us something we don't deserve. It was given unto us because the physician of his son was sent to heal us of our sickness. But we must come to him and say, I'm sick, and Lord, I'm looking to you, and I can't heal myself. Physician, heal me. And so that's what we do when we're saved. But he said, these guys have drunk the old wine so long, they're not interested in the new. They think the old wine is getting them to heaven. Yet later on, he'll pronounce them that they are a bunch of hypocrites going to hell. But yet, in their mind, they were stuck on the old wine because they didn't understand they had to have something new. If they were going to please God by their works and their works would become good works, they had to have regeneration. Because otherwise, there is none good, no, not one. And everything someone that's unsaved produces is filthy rags, Isaiah said. Our works is as filthy rags. And so therefore, tonight, just want to make this simple point. Some people say, well, can a small child be saved? If he has faith, by God's grace, he can. But he must identify that he's a sinner, and he understands that the Holy Spirit of God has condemned him of sin because of breaking the law of God. And so, therefore, he looks to the only one that can save him, and he asks him to come. And when we do that, that's when salvation comes into our life. Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would. Now, I know most of the people in here are probably saved, but you know something? Sometimes what we need to do is we need to just thank God that he provided a way that we could be saved. And you know, sometimes when we begin to doubt our salvation, you know what we're doing? We're looking at ourselves and we're trying to weigh and add our works up instead of looking back at what we were nothing but sinners, sick, having called upon the physician. And Jesus came. He came for one purpose. To heal that which was sick. And he came unto the sick, not those that were whole. Amen.